Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of Grace Abounding. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 verse 20 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul's statement here, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. That's such an important word for where we are at today. Because, as you know, we are living in times where sin seems to be abounding more and more. Things that previous generations clearly saw as sinful are not only accepted today, but some are even seen as special virtues. So we're really going back to a paganistic cultural situation where the biblical understanding of morality is being just sort of erased right before our very eyes. People today hardly think anything of lying, stealing, cheating, slandering, threatening, fornication, which is premarital sexual activity, is as prevalent as dating. And adultery and divorce are as common as marriage in our culture today. Assault, robbery, and murder are the norm in many cities around the world. And this is just reality. And these places where there was at one time, there was a strong influence from the Bible upon the culture. And so sin, although it was certainly in the hearts of men, and it certainly did work itself out into society in, you know, various ways, it was still suppressed to a large degree because of the adherence to a biblical type of morality. But that, it's just gone. It really just isn't there any longer, is it? I was walking through the streets of Glasgow, and I saw two young, pretty girls passionately kissing one another. And right on the street corner. And, you know, there wasn't anybody that was batting an eye. There wasn't anybody that was disturbed by that. There wasn't anybody that was in any way indicating that there was anything the matter with that kind of behavior. Now, of course, like I said, in a previous generation, that would be unthinkable in a city like that, where there was a rich Christian heritage. But this is where we've come to. Sin is abounding. Here's the question, is there any hope? And the answer is yes, there is hope. Because as Paul says here, where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. You see, God is not intimidated by sin. Grace is able to conquer sin. Grace is able to roll over sin. And we need to remember that. You know, for Paul, like for all of us, this is not merely theoretical. This isn't just some religious idea that Paul had that he theorized on. This was a reality for Paul himself. Paul knew himself the power of the grace of God because he experienced it in his own life. And having experienced it in his own life, he was able then to testify to the grace of God. In his own testimony, he said this in writing to Timothy. He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent or a violently arrogant man." And listen, "The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That's the Apostle Paul. He said he was a blasphemer. He was an arrogant man. He was a violent man. But what happened to him? Well, he was met by the grace of God. And as he said here, his grace was exceedingly abundant. And so Paul is writing these things. He's writing to this great city of Rome that is so abounding in sin. And he's writing with just this absolute confidence that where sin abounded, grace abounds that much more. So Paul knew it from his own personal experience. He knew also about the grace of God from the Lord himself. I think of that incident, and I love this story in Acts chapter 18, where Paul has come off of persecution in two different places. He was persecuted in Thessalonica, and he was persecuted prior to that in Philippi. And because he's been suffering persecution, he comes to Corinth and he's a bit intimidated. He's a bit fearful. He's not really up for another beating or another imprisonment. And so he's reluctant to speak in the city of Corinth. But the Lord appears to him and says, "Paul, do not hold your peace, but speak." He said, "No one's going to harm you." And then Jesus said this about the city of Corinth. He said, "For I have many people in this city." Now, the amazing thing about that statement is when you understand the city that Jesus was referring to, it's one of those cities that you would have thought from the outward observation that God didn't have any people in that city. It was a wicked city. It was a perverted city. It was a city that was given over to lust and to idolatry and to all of those things that would, you know, cause it to seem to be the kind of place that you wouldn't find people that would believe in the Lord. It didn't seem like the kind of place where God would say, "I've got many people in this city." But that's what Jesus said to Paul. And then when Paul writes to the Corinthians, and we've referred to this before, but again, I want to touch on it. When he writes to them on one particular occasion, he's addressing the issue of righteousness with them. And so he reminds them that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. And then he makes reference to several lifestyles or behaviors that would be in that category of the unrighteous. And he speaks of the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers. He mentions male prostitutes. He mentions homosexuals, thieves, covetous people, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. And then he says this, and such were some of you. He's talking to the church. And he says, and such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. You see, just as Jesus had told Paul, I have many people in this city. And when he went in and he began to speak and to preach the gospel, he found that people from all different walks of life and from all different backgrounds of sin began to respond to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, we need to remember our own story as well, just as Paul would reflect on his and share his own testimony. We need to remember our own story as well, because we can lose sight of the grace of God that was shown to us. We forget sometimes where the Lord brought us from. We forget how pitiful we really were. We forget how bad off we were. We forget how deep down in sin we once were. And because we forget that, we then are not thinking in terms of what the grace of God is able to do for people today. And we look at certain people and we just write them off. We just think, oh no, it's hopeless. Hopeless situation. Nothing could happen with a person like that. Oh, they're too far gone. But we need to remember where the Lord brought us from, and just to know that there isn't anyone that is beyond the grace of God. There's no sin that's greater than the grace of God. Where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. What Paul is saying is that there's more grace than there is sin. There's enough grace to cover all sin. Now, again, we look around and we think, well, wait, it seems like there's way more sin than there is grace. Well, the grace, of course, the problem is it's not being applied. It's available. It's not being applied, but to some extent it's not being applied because people don't know about it. And they don't know about it because they haven't been told about it. And they're not being told about it because the recipients of it have forgotten about how glorious it is and have grown silent and are not communicating anymore, in some cases, to others about the grace of God. We can't forget these things. We've got to remember where the Lord brought us from. And we also need to be sensitive to the voice of Jesus speaking today, just like he did in Paul's day, about different places and peoples that we might look at from the outside and say, oh, that's a hopeless cause there. Oh, that's a God-forsaken place. That's a place that's doomed. And surely there's nothing God could do or probably would even want to do in a place like that. But you know, it's not true. This is what we can know. In places where sin abounds, there's grace available. So what we could really do, and what we probably ought to be doing as Christians seeking to further and advance the kingdom of God, we ought to be looking around for really sinful places and saying, this is where we need to go, right here. But you know what happened? You know what happened is Christians, I think, we've lost sight to some degree of our mission, what we're doing in the world, and we get tempted to live in a comfort zone. And so we don't want to be in those kinds of places. So what's happened on occasion is Christians will sort of vacate the mission field and go into the comfort of the suburban areas and leave the cities, the inner cities and so forth, to just become more and more and more laden with sin. And this has happened. this did happen in many of the large cities around our country and in different places in the world. In many of the large cities, Christians just vacated the cities because it's sinful in there and it's uncomfortable to live in there. And we don't like that. That doesn't fit with the kind of lifestyle we want. So we're going to go out and, you know, find a more comfortable place. Now, from a certain standpoint, that you can understand that. But we have to remember, we've got the answer. We've got the solution. So if the church vacates the city, if the church leaves the city and just, you know, isolates itself out in the suburbs, then what hope is there in the city? We've got the hope. We've got the answer. And thank God that in the past several years, there's been, I think, a fresh vision in the minds of believers to get back into the cities. And there's a movement afoot today that's exciting, where a lot of the younger generation of believers they're gravitating toward these cities. Now, when I was a kid growing up in LA area, I wasn't even a Christian, but man, I was so happy to get out of LA. When I moved to Orange County as a teenager, I was happy about that. Well, I moved right across the street from the beach, so that made me even more happy. But, you know, I really was. It was like I had no love for Los Angeles whatsoever. I wanted to get out of that place. And, you know, it's so funny because I meet all these younger guys and gals today, and they're all moving to L.A. And they just think it's the greatest thing in the world. Oh, yeah, we're living in L.A. And it's like, really? Why? What are you guys thinking? And then I drive up to L.A. and I drive through town. I think, oh, man, it's the same dumpy place it was when I was a kid. But, you know, I'm thankful for those guys that they've got that heart for it and they're going for it. And it's exciting. It's great. And so many of them, you know, they're just kind of, I don't want to do the suburbia thing. I don't want to, I want to get right in the thick of it. And God's putting them right in the thick of this thing. And this is a great vision that these young guys have. And I really commend them and pray for them. And I'm excited at what the Lord's doing with them. Because God wants to reach people. And of course, cities are full of people. Big cities are full of people, aren't they? And I have to say, when I walked through the city of Bristol, and I walked through the city of Glasgow, I just had that same sense. Man, Lord, you want to do something here. We have a church in Glasgow. And there's a couple of good churches. I know a few of the churches in the city. But there's room for a lot more. And as I walked through Bristol and as we prayed over Bristol, it's just like, yeah, Lord, you can just sense that there's lots of people here. The Lord wants to do something here. So just as Jesus said to Paul all those centuries ago, I have many people in this city of Corinth. So when we look at LA or when we look at San Francisco or we look at San Jose or we look at San Diego or, you know, across the country, Chicago, New York City, Dallas, these places and these major cities around the world, God is saying to his people, I have many people in these cities. And by faith, we've got to take that to heart and we've got to believe that the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the solution, that where sin abounded, grace is abounding much, much more. And there are still sinners today, just like there were in Corinth, who need to be saved. They need the grace of God. They need the grace of God. And again, it's always encouraging, and I know I've shared along these same lines before, but I just feel again, you know, to kind of stir up your pure minds in regard to the power of the gospel. But just thinking about the testimonies. I recently did a a conference with a girl that was, she was a call girl in Las Vegas, high paid call girl. And somehow the gospel got to her, and where sin abounded, grace did abound that much more, and she came to Christ. And not only did she come to the Lord, but God's given her this amazing ministry right amongst that group of people. And she's sharing the gospel, and she's pulling girls off the streets, and she's seeing their lives transformed. And, you know, would you ever think that those would be the ones, the candidates for salvation? How did we ever get this idea that Jesus came just for good people? Well, they certainly didn't get it from reading the Bible, did they? Because if there's anything the Bible says, it's like we've read, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, real sinners, wicked sinners. I heard this story a couple of days ago. In Britain, there's, you know, it's been to a large degree, a socialized country, and it's a country that still has a bit of a class system. And so you have what they commonly call the working class, which is sort of a misnomer because the folks really don't work. They live off the government. And you have all of these, what they call council estates. It's government housing and so forth. And it's kind of the cradle to the grave, you know, government provision. And so you have generations of people who have never, they've never worked. They've lived off the government. And so alcoholism and heroin addiction and all, it's just prevalent in these council estates. And subsequently, you have, you know, the children, by the time they're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, they're already just thoroughly immersed in corruption and sin and thievery and drug use and pornography and so forth. I mean, it's just, you know, it's unbelievable the human depravity that you see in these places. And of course, we don't have to go across the Atlantic to find it. We can find it here as well. In a particular little town, there were 2 9-year-old boys known in the town as the evil twins, sexually active 9-year-olds, doing drugs, thievery, violence, 9 years old. And this one particular young man, his family has gone to this town to do ministry, to set up a church. So this kid was telling the story. So as they go into this community and his dad starts trying to set up a little church, they come into contact with the evil twins. And this teenage kid is just freaked out by the depravity of these children. So much so that he's like, I got to get out of here. I can't handle this. This is a frightening situation. Well, he went off to Bible school. And while he was at Bible school, God began to do a work in his heart. And he would go out and he would get involved in some outreaches and things. And God started touching his heart for the kids as he would go into these different communities. So finally, it led him back to his own community with his family. And he began to reach out to these kids. And he told the story of this boy as he began to talk to him and find out all of the sick things that this little guy was involved in and just his doing what comes natural in his environment. And as he begins to talk to this boy and as he begins to tell him about why he shouldn't be doing that, the boy's just clueless. He's like, well, why shouldn't I do it? He had never even heard the term sin before. Said, this is called sin. Well, what is sin? What does that mean? And as he begins to talk to this little 9-year-old boy about sin, this kid breaks down and begins to sob over his sin. And God touches the heart of this little 9-year-old. But this is the kind of thing we're dealing with, but this is the kind of thing that grace is there for. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Grace Abounding. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Grace Abounding. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0127. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.